Every now and then, I visit an elementary school. Talking with children is a pretty good idea, I think. They ask questions we don't think about, and they ask them very directly. Recently, a little girl wanted to know, what's the hardest part of your job? That got me thinking. I looked down and I told her, the hardest part is telling people no.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. I gotta tell you, glad he's gone, especially when budget time rolls around. And you know, I always, every time I hear that clip, you know, I look down at her and said, telling people no. Well, he didn't have a problem telling that little girl, no education for you, and we're gonna slash the amount that we're funding your opportunity for a future. Didn't have a problem with that. And the Republican leadership doesn't seem to have, in my view, much of a problem really pursuing policies that are going to harm that little girl in the future. Just kind of my thought. But last week, the governor gave his big budget address, laying out the priorities that he has for this year, even though, in my view, last budget's still not done. But here to talk a little bit about what the governor laid out, I've asked Mark Steer, director of the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center, PennBPC.org, the website. Mark, thanks for taking time for us.
My pleasure, Rick. Always happy to be on.
So the governor rolled out the priorities, I guess, same kind of thing, education, good governance, that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, the governor laid out a budget that makes sense to us on the whole. It's not exactly what we'd want. But I think most importantly, he said, we in Pennsylvania really have a choice of two different paths. We're at a crossroads right now. Either we're going to deal with the fact that we have, you know, in the jargon, a structural deficit. We have a situation in which if we keep doing what we're doing, if we spend what we have to spend under law, if we take in the revenues we take in under law, we have a deficit. We have a deficit this year of between $300 and $500 million. We have a deficit next year of $1.8 billion. And the fact is about this Pennsylvania budget, most of it can't be moved around much or changed much. If we don't meet our obligations under federal law, we lose billions of dollars of medical assistance funding. We've got to have a state police. We've got to have prisons. We can't just let people out under state law. The things we simply have to do. So if we don't close that $1.8 billion deficit, we're going to see $1.8 billion in cuts. And the only places it can come from are education and human services. And that's going to be devastating for our kids, for the aged who will lose prescription coverage, for rape crisis centers, for all the things that we have a choice about spending for or not, it's going to go.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, I lived through the four Corbett budgets, and we were told, and I'm sure you remember this, we were told that we tighten our belt, we sacrifice now, we'll fix these problems, and it'll be better tomorrow. And after 4 years of that mentality, it only kept getting worse. Don't we have to wake up and realize that what we did then was more destructive than we can imagine?
It was absolutely destructive, and destructive in two ways. Number one, when we cut the state budget the way we cut it, we harmed the economy. The state budget is a big economic driver. When you cut out 38,000 state, local and education jobs, you're hurting the state economy. But there's an even bigger problem. This structural deficit didn't just happen. It was created by tax cuts that went to corporations. And by the way, it's not just Corbett's fault. It goes back to Ridge. Governor Rendell did some more corporate tax cutting. Corbett expanded it drastically without replacing those revenues. And the consequence is, if we were taxing corporations, rather let's put it this way, if they paid the same percentage of general fund revenues now that they did 25 years ago, we would have an additional $2.4 billion, which means no deficit, which means we have money to restore funding cuts in the schools. In fact, we could start improving the schools and start improving human services. Don't let anyone tell you this just happened or it's because the government's too big. It was created by people who cut corporate taxes.
But
and
Mark,
we got no benefit from it.
But Mark,
where are the jobs they promised?
But Mark, we have the highest corporate taxes in the world, don't you know?
We 71% of corporations in Pennsylvania do not pay taxes at all because of all the loopholes.
But isn't that what we're told quite often, that we have to cut those rates because they're the highest everywhere?
Well, it's simply not true. I mean, we have high rates in practice. I mean, in theory, but in practice, no one pays those rates because the corporate tax is riddled with loopholes. And, you know, they promised. They said, we'll cut these taxes. We'll see economic growth. And in Pennsylvania, we saw job growth down at the level of 48 or 49 out of 50 states. Meanwhile, you look at states like Minnesota and California, which had the same kind of crisis we did and raised taxes so they could keep state spending at the level it was. Their economies grew. The states that cut taxes the most, us and Kansas, our economies are in bad shape.
All because of bad policy and horrible choices and ideology that took us down the wrong path.
Absolutely right.
So in looking at this budget, I mean, are we beginning to look at the realities? And what response did the Republicans give to the governor's address?
You know what? They keep piling one fantasy on top of another. Now they say the governor just wants to expand the government. He wants to create this big leviathan that's going to gobble up the whole state. You know, if you look at what percentage of the state's GDP goes through the government, in the last 4 years, it's been at a historically low level compared to the 20 years before that. Government in Pennsylvania has been shrunk. There are fewer employees than there were 5 years ago. Meanwhile, there are many more private sector employees. Pennsylvania's government has been shrunk. It's smaller. It's doing less. The problem here is not that the government's too big. The problem is we're not willing to pay for the government we have, let alone for the government we really need.
Right. And again, it comes back down to, you know, they want to have us have the argument between big government and small government instead of where I think the discussion should be, and that is effective government.
Yeah, you know what? I really want people to think back about our history. You know, in the late 19th and 20th century, Pennsylvania was one of the economic powerhouses of the United States, one of the wealthiest states in the country. We had fairly broadly shared prosperity. And how did we build it? It wasn't with unskilled and uneducated workers. It was skilled and educated workers who made us prosperous. We were one of the first states outside of New England to have mass public education. A guy named Thaddeus Stevens, who you've heard of in another context, was the guy who brought it to Pennsylvania. We didn't create broadly shared prosperity in Pennsylvania with unorganized workers. We had one of the most highly organized labor union mobilized workforce in the country. We didn't create broadly shared prosperity with a small government, low taxes. We had one of the larger governments, not a huge government, but the government in Pennsylvania throughout our history has been providing infrastructure and transportation, communication facilities, has invested in ways that help our businesses grow. And while I'm talking about this history, we didn't create this broadly shared prosperity with just native-born workers. We've always been friendly to immigrants. The extremist Republicans in the General Assembly want to reverse all of those things. They want to take us in a direction with less education, less unionization, less government support of economic growth, fewer immigrants, and the result is going to be prosperity, but it's not going to be broadly shared. It's going to be prosperity for the very top, and the rest of us are going to suffer.
And that's not a direction I'd like to see us go. What are the chances of this governor's budget being even considered? I know the calendar of you know, talking about the governor's budget just came out. What are the chances of this anything getting done on this? Because I don't even think we've finished 15s, right?
Well, we have a 15-16 budget that the governor line-ironed and vetoed it, which means there's funding for some things, but funding for schools is going to start running out in March. We're going to see some schools close unless we add money to this year's budget. And there's limits to how much we can add until we actually grapple with the deficit and raise taxes. And then devastation will hit in July if we cannot deal with the deficit issue. What's going to happen? You know, it sort of depends on whether the moderates in the Republican Party can wrestle control from the extremists and are willing to say, look, we have to face reality. We can't keep living in this ideological fantasy that, you know, that serves a couple of percent of our constituents and ignores everyone else.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Mark, in looking at the structural hole that we have in this budget cycle, you know, there are those who say we should be cutting our way out, that we can't raise revenue, Mark, taxes are high enough, we're taxed enough already, blah, 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 blah. What would this state look like if we slashed and burned to the level to close that structural deficit?
Well, you know, we know what $1 billion in education cuts looks like. We don't know what $1 billion on top of a previous billion that we've never restored looks like, but it's going to be pretty grim. We're going to lose teachers. We're going to lose, I mean, thousands of teachers, guidance counselors, school nurses. We're going to cut back programs in our schools. And it's particularly going to hit the districts that are with the poorest students. The lowest income students and parents, because those cuts in the past weren't distributed equally. They fell hardest on the people who could least afford it. The new cuts may fall the same way. Hopefully with Governor Wolf in charge, that wouldn't be as bad. But, you know, there are a lot of districts that have never made back the from the Corbett cuts. There are going to be really serious cuts to social service spending, human services. Prescription drugs in the medical assistance program for the aged, for the disabled, that's going to be cut. Money going to county assistant offices for those who are intellectually disabled or who have mental health problems. That will have to be cut. We're talking about really massive cutbacks. That's going to be incredibly painful for people, for our kids and for people we know in our communities.
No, but do you think that it has to happen? I mean, on some level, I think we only act as a nation or as a people when crisis or you see actual horrible things in the street. I mean, I hate to say it, but maybe that's what has to happen.
It happened once to our schools, and the voters of Pennsylvania elected someone to the governor's office who promised to reverse that disaster. Unfortunately, they also elected some people to the state legislature who take the same extremist view as Governor Corbett, who created that first disaster.
Because I got to be honest, Mark, I didn't see really the outrage over the last year, with the budget fight that went on. I didn't see, people in the streets like I thought we should. Does it take that kind of pain and suffering to wake us up and maybe shake us into action?
You know, I've been talking to a lot of people on school boards and who run the associations of school boards. They really are trying their hardest not to close schools because they believe in education, because they know what it would mean to kids and their parents if the schools closed. So they're borrowing. They're cutting back. I heard of a principal who also is the transportation coordinator. You know, he's in the office all day, and at the end of the day, he comes out and tells the buses where to go because they don't have a transportation coordinator at this rural school. They're holding it together with tape and spit. And at some point, I think all that stuff that we've done to keep the schools going is ultimately going to collapse, and we'll stop hiding just how damaged so many schools are across the state because of the lack of funding.
As I said, they should have closed Chester.
I hope it doesn't come to that. I hope citizens around the state, are willing to, make phone calls to their legislators and stand in in their doors and sit down and talk with them and demand that they finally come to grips with the problem they've created.
Yeah, I'm with you. But as I said, when the Chester Upland situation was going on, they should have closed down and shipped all those kids to the white suburban schools and said, here's your new school. Things would have changed really quick. Just my thought.
We need to do something to mobilize people in Pennsylvania.
I'm with you.
That they get the kind of government and kind of education, the kind of human services they really deserve.
Mark, I appreciate you taking time for us, filling us in on the budget. I look forward to coming back and keeping us up to date on what's going on and filling us in. Appreciate it.
Very happy to do so. Thanks for having me on there.
Thanks so much. Mark Steer, Director of the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center. You want to check out their website, penbpc.org is the website, or just click on Mark's name. Takes you right there at the website. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.